This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode, 545 is what I put in the show notes, so that must be the right number. Brian is sick this week. He sent out an email to some of the correct people, and also some people who are probably really confused right now as to why they got this email. He suggested that Diecast and I do a rock, paper, scissors for hosting, but no, I'm just taking over.
Well, you could
offer his world now. Live in fear.
I thought that might be funny. I always live in fear.
Jason also has to produce, so. But on that note, we are joined by our guest producer, Jason, this week.
Hello, everybody.
Who is also responsible for many of the fine shows on our network. So, Chaz, there goes my money this week.
So if you don't like it, it's his fault.
Yes.
Little known fact.
And that was.
Well, I was saying, I was just gonna say, little known fact: Jason is the forebearer of James T. Kirk.
Of course. Oh, that everyone knows that. I make it very clear to people.
You know, that apple fell kind of far from that tree, didn't it? So, also with us this week is Eric Crownover, aka Eric Crowbar.
Hello. Or Crownover.
I was going to say thanks for saying my name right.
I say a lot of things more correctly than Diecast does. Hi, Diecast. How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
We also have the one and only Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
With his bowl.
How could there
of
ever
coffee?
Be another one of that? That's not a bowl. That's the.
This is the cup provided by one of our listeners. Yeah, but
it's a large cup.
It's filled with
I am disappointed. Somebody find Don a Transformers coffee bowl, please.
It's a cup full of delicious coffee with peppermint mocha creamer.
Oh, nice.
Alternate, we can't get a Transformers bowl for Don to put his coffee in, because we get like a Transformers, a flagon, you know, a flagon of coffee.
The flagon with the dragon has to brew, that is true.
Or a beer stein, a beer stein of coffee.
Or a Yeti tumbler?
Every week, Don has some different vessel for his coffee.
We should get Don a pimp cup of coffee.
Yeah. What I need is a nuclear vessel for my coffee.
Also, we have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar.
Yes. Yes, we do. Sadly, I am here.
It could be worse. You could be on superhero time.
That'd be better. As usual, off camera this week, we have Rob Clay.
Hi.
And John DeLuna, if he's paying attention and not playing Street Fighter.
I'm playing Mega Man 4. Thank you very much.
Ooh, cool.
Classic.
I mean, I go with the odds. Usually it's right. Sometimes it's Mega Man 4, you know.
Sometimes
it might be Mighty Number.
One of 700 NES games. Take your shot.
Tarn off.
So this week, it's going to be a Power of the Primes episode because some of us have new toys this week. I was supposed to have new toys today, but I didn't.
They don't come out till Q1.
We're not there yet, Diecast.
You can't have them yet.
So I've actually heard via Twitter today that there might be a reset date at Target of November 26th where most of the stores will be stocking these out on the shelves.
That's what I was told when I
a few locations have had them. Okay. A few locations have had them out on pegs. That's how we first found out that they were even in Target system to begin with. One report I ran across today was that they were going to be an end cap feature right around Thanksgiving. So if you can't find them or get them out of the back room of your Target right now, it's not going to be a long wait, and they'll probably be, you know, stocked pretty deep at that point. So before we get into the show, I just want to put out a reminder for our Last Night Before Christmas campaign, where we're encouraging everyone to, when they're out doing their toy hunting for Power of the Primes, their normal Christmas shopping, what have you, pick up an extra Transformers toy. There's lots sitting on shelves from the summer, maybe even a little bit earlier. There's a lot of less fortunate kids out there. They'd be thrilled to have one of these toys that you just can't stand the sight of anymore. So, you know, pick up one, two, three, a whole shelf full even. It's up to you. And then, you know, finding toys for Totspin to drop that in. Make some kids' Christmas, man. And again, credit to Rob Clay for coming up with the clever name, The Last Night Before Christmas.
Thank you. I was torn between that and The Last Night B for Christmas, depending on how many there were sticking around.
I saw that, but when I brought it up on the show, I decided to go with The Last Night Before Christmas thing just because it reads a little easier.
That's kind of what I thought.
The second one works great in text, though.
Yeah.
So I already know the answer to this question, but who got something this week? Yeah. I'm going to let Eric go first because he's the guest.
Yeah, I did. I got Power of the Primes Wave 1 Deluxes. All of them. They are quite good. I love them.
You suck so much.
Man, they are really, really neat. And as I mentioned on There Goes My Money, the quality is certainly there on them versus Wave 1 of Titans Return, which was, you know, plagued with QC issues. They are all really solid, at least the ones that I have. So.
Mm-hmm. That's diecast. It? That's all you're gonna tell us?
Oh, I was gonna ask how diecasts are.
Seriously,
okay. They're lovely. They're absolutely
how's your
lovely.
QC though? I'm curious if I got lucky or if
No, there's nothing to complain of. The only thing I did notice was on Slag, his mouthpiece right here has plastic like stoppers. And they're kind of like wearing down as I move his mouth. And then you can't really have him with his mouth open because it actually looks like a snake ready to like he dislocated his jaw to try and eat
something.
Yeah,
you can do it a little bit and then it starts to get creepy.
Yeah.
But I'd say that it's surprising how much Dreadwind is remolded versus being a Combiner Wars aerial bot. He actually has a decent... a really neat trick I like where it's a double hinge that takes the wings of the jet and it puts them on his legs instead of how they would go on his shoulder. So how the Aerobots did. So they actually go on the back of his legs, not on his back like a backpack anymore, which is neat. I also love that the little filler piece on the hands is actually a little pistol. It only looks good with Dreadwind because he's the only one who has one that isn't clear plastic, but it's neat.
Dreadwing to me is recognizably an aerial bot base with some added interesting transformation procedures.
Yeah, I imagine that double hinge wing feature will work whenever you get Darkwing to go with it as part of the combined jet mode.
Yep, that's exactly what it's for.
And I was going to say something else and I completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, but he is a decent jet, but obviously Combiner Wars. And I do like the fact that they still included the Titans Return ports for the Headmasters on all these figures. So if you like that gimmick of putting your Titan Masters standing on the figures, that's going to continue with Power of the Primes.
Oh yeah, it's not the port, it's the foot pegs.
Yeah, the little pegs. Foot pegs. Yeah. Yes, they are on there. I just realized that actually. I didn't even.
Yeah, they all have them. Swoop has them.
Does Dreadwing? He does.
It reminds me of the transition from Armada to Energon, where a lot of those early toys kept the Minicon hardpoints, even though they didn't activate gimmicks anymore.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense because the Prime Masters are basically just the Titan Master body, so the play pattern is not gone. It has carried over.
Yeah.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Diecast, does your Jazz, do the knees lock in anywhere? Or tab in, because mine's kind of weird where it moves around. It's kind of hard to show.
I think mine's the same way. That's honestly the only one I haven't really transformed yet.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not...
I like him a lot. His transformation is probably my favorite out of the four. So. Yeah.
He's a definitely interesting looking Jazz car. Like, looking at the packaging and then his back piece. I was like, that looks pretty interesting.
He's a little longer and skinnier than the other Combiner Wars cars. Not a
That's
whole
what she
lot,
said?
But man, I like it when Kilby's here.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty happy with when I'm here.
Those don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can happen at the same time.
I was hoping Brian was going to be here because I was going to show him my
such a pretty toy
masterpiece. Well,
you just have to have that on hand next week. You might have to do it during pre-show, but you can still make him suffer with it.
Yeah, this was a bagged version. It didn't come with a box. It came with all the accessories, just no instructions, no
box. And the wheels, right? Did it come with wheels?
It came with, I think it came with all the wheels. But the only thing I noticed on it is the one chrome, I think it's like a fuel tank, has a little black spot on the corner of it. And that's really the only thing I can see that's wrong with it.
Not bad.
Where'd you get it from? Or did you say Taobao or no? Or is that not?
Yeah, it was a Taobao.
It's implied, always.
Yeah, I figured, but.
He got a masterpiece in a baggie. Where do you think it came from?
That's a fair point.
And then I also got a Diaclone DX9 Hulky that is KO'd. he's yellow and orange. He's Diaclone color.
I would prefer like solid orange, but I have to admit, I really do kind of dig that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like, after finding out what it comes with, too.
Yeah, it comes with a little Dinot, dude.
And I love that silver and orange, silver and orange that suit.
Is there even an official version of the Dinot suit that's orange? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's like, I've seen red, blue, and green, I think.
And I mean, from what I've seen, those exosuit colors and the official stuff are more muted colors, too.
Yeah, much.
And then this is the Voyager Optimus Prime that was upscaled. And the eyes were just as bad, so I painted his eyes black. I was actually
trying
to do
the correct forearms.
No, he actually doesn't, if you're curious.
So he's not worth
$20. I'm not kidding. Not worth $20 more than, you know, you're right. He's not worth $20.
Also, to our listening audience, if you have not checked out this week's There Goes My Money yet, you definitely should, because then you will understand our in-jokes.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. It was a great show, I have to admit.
It was fun.
And because I like Generation Toys Megatron so much, I got the Generation Toys Optimus Prime Optex.
Here, can you just up a little bit so I can grab them from you?
Raise
them up. Oh my god, I want him so bad.
Okay, I know that's not like a brand new thing, but are you going to do a video of it anyway, just because you're kind of into it?
I didn't even transform him yet, so...
I mean, that's not a precursor. The primes first, right?
Diecast.
And then, you probably saw most of that stuff if you follow me on Twitter, but this just came in today. This is my Lost Light Rodimus Prime MMC Mastermind Creations figure. So...
Hey, Diecast, I'm going to be in Philly this weekend. You might want to lock your doors, because you've got a lot of stuff I like right now. I'm sure I can find your address on your Twitter somewhere, so I'll just go for it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You shouldn't have telegraphed this. You could have just been like, I'm going to be in the area. Could I stop by and like see your collection for a little bit, you know, hang out for a little while? You probably could have walked out with a handful of stuff, and he never would have noticed. Like, he wouldn't even know.
He'll forget by then.
Yeah.
You could just message his wife, and she'd probably leave the door unlocked for you.
Hey, Kim.
Yeah, send her a message being like, I'll be passing by. If you want to leave like a little care package of robots outside, I'll thin the herd a little bit for you. So you don't have to come in the house. You'll just like swing by and pick it up on your way.
Excellent.
sort of like Brian Savage dropping off John's stuff, but in reverse.
Yes, exactly like that.
And then the other thing, well, I didn't really get, but the Toy Hacks or Ripper labels set for... Windblade,
Repro labels.
Repro.
You said Ripper label.
Repro.
Ripro.
You said, okay, yeah, but you said Ripper label. That's Ripper. Kind of not right.
Ripper label.
And I stickered her up, and
she looks good.
It's nice. It helps. It's still not a great, you know, I still don't really like this mold.
Yeah.
But she looks a lot nicer now.
It's always a plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But that's all I got.
So, Don, what about you?
My Toys R Us is apparently my Target is the only Target within about 150 miles that did not get any Power of the Prime stuff, according to BrickSeek. But while I was there double-checking, I did find the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Ghostbuster figures, which is about the same size as their wrestling figures. Plus, they were on sale. Plus, I had a Target gift card. So, I got three plus one free. So,
Don,
yeah.
Very nice.
This week's adventure in Dononomics.
Plus, seeing Raphael with Winston's mustache is kind of funny.
Kind of.
Matt?
Again, no Transformers-related stuff, but I did get some more Mega Bloks, Ninja Turtle stuff. I got Rock City and Bebop and some Foot Soldiers.
Nice.
How much did you pay for those sets?
Rock City and Bebop weren't bad. I mean, it's each of them with 3 Foot Soldiers apiece, and it was somewhere in between $10 and $15 for a pack.
Not bad.
I got mine for 8 each.
Mm. See, I made the fail mistake of not buying them until after they were long gone from Walmart. So,
Toys R Us, actually.
Because I always talked myself out of them. I would hold them and I'd be like, you know what? I'm not gonna do this to myself. I'm not gonna fall down this rabbit hole.
I mean, I did that up to a point, but then when I was in Toys R Us with Hey Mickey one day and saw a bunch of the Ninja Turtle Mega Block stuff on like pretty substantial clearance, then it's like, yeah. My time is now.
And I may have ordered some more stuff the other day, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I finally put together my turtle van, and it is nice. Really, really nice. So
cool. Got you mean your cube?
Yes. My cube with lots and lots of opening doors.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah. It even has a little Mega Bloks firing missile.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. These sets are really well done.
Yeah, the Mega Bloks collector grade stuff is just like surprising quality.
Yeah.
Hey, they changed their name. You're using the wrong name.
Yeah, well, they were Mega Bloks went with the Ninja Turtle stuff. Yeah. So
and it's only mildly terrifying that this is all gold plastic, you know.
Oh.
Wait, they're not Mega Bloks anymore? What are they?
They
Mega Constructs.
Yeah, Mega Constructs for the collector stuff.
Huh, I didn't know that.
The more child-aimed lines are still Mega Bloks.
So are the Halo... Wait, it is Mega Bloks that does the Halo sets, right?
Yeah, they're Mega
Constructs. So they're Mega Constructs. Okay. Yeah. Halo, Destiny, any of the Star Trek stuff, like the collector series figures, gotcha. That's all under the Mega Constructs branding now. That was confusing to me at first, too, but I also don't really care for the name. But that's neither here nor there. Jason, you're next up on my screen. What did you get?
All right, well, first off, I just want to say inside this tumbler with an undisclosed beverage are Autobot symbol ice cubes, thanks to the ice cube tray that Diecast gave me at TFCon, or all of us, actually.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those with my Cogman.
Yes.
Actually. Cool.
So thank you for that, Diecast. I am enjoying that. Just so Matt doesn't feel left out, I have the Eastman and Laird edition Leonardo.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. Got him at Toys R Us this weekend. And Transformers-wise, the Toys R Us 2-buy-2-get-1 free sale I took advantage of. So from that, I finally got Bisk.
Yay!
Nice. I have mine right here,
also
too.
Also known as the one that Eric is obsessed with on Instagram.
I love this.
Everywhere, actually.
Too, yeah.
Today's despot is blank, and here he is with Bisk.
That's pretty much how it goes.
And because the selection wasn't great, really the only other RID they had that I didn't have already was Ratchet. From the
Ratchet's not bad. He's a little plain in ambulance mode, but he's not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe Ripper labels can help you with that, too.
Did they get a set out for him? I know that we all suspected it was going to happen, but I can't remember.
Don't know. I'm just playing the odds here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make fun of Diecast a little bit.
Well, as horrible as the back of his ambulance mode looks, they really should have if they didn't.
Yeah.
But
I think they did.
And I also finally got Voyager Prime from last night. Haven't really messed with them much, but I always liked them. I just didn't want to pick them up for $30, and I was with the sale and stuff. Everything even averaged out to like 3 toys for like $50. So I was down with that.
That Voyager is definitely worth about $20 to $25 if you can pick it up at a good price, because it's a really solid figure.
Yeah.
If you can find a good deal on the leader class, it's not like the Japanese caliber version. It's not bad, but for the money, that's a good Voyager for $25. $30 to $35, not really.
Yeah, haven't transformed yet or anything, but just from handling him and stuff, he feels pretty solid, so I'm happy with that. And yeah,
except for not having the right form.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I finally took Nitro Zeus out of the box. And his head...
What took you so long?
Yeah.
I haven't opened mine either.
You know what took me so long? I bought Hot Rod. That's what took me so long. And I was like, why do I want any more of these movie toys? This thing is god-awful. That's what took me so long.
And Nitro Zeus would have fixed that.
Yeah, well, nice. my Nitro Zeus and my Scorn are still in the box. I just haven't dove in. Heck, my Fantasoid Omega is still in the box. I just haven't had time to open them up yet.
God.
Well, I've been so tired from work and everything.
I mean, knowing where Don works, classified information, but knowing where Don works, I can understand why he's completely drained of energy after the end of each day.
Don, don't worry. Still, you're getting into the less busy season, so it'll be okay.
That's just cruel.
Oh, man.
I think we lost Don. I think he's dying.
Oh, God.
Hell no.
We thought Massey would kill him someday.
And finally,
that's not how that works.
I was at Toys R Us with my son, so of course I was the one who got the flip changer thing, rescue box toys, because he doesn't need those. He's just.
Did you get one for your son too, or no?
Actually, I got him the Bumblebee that turns into the hover jet thing, so he did get something. But I figured these would be nice to have on like my desk at work and stuff. So.
Has anybody seen the Thermidor repaint yet of this?
I really, really want it. I want to have two lobsters on my desk.
Yes.
That wave has been seen in stores in Canada, but has not entered the U.S. distribution system that anybody's aware of so far.
Not at all, really? I thought... I haven't been paying super close attention. I could have swore I thought I saw a sighting or two, but still most people weren't.
Well, that could be another wave bound for Ross, with it being probably the last wave of figures. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt.
I have bad luck with Ross, though. I don't want that to happen. I'd rather just buy it.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Ross is always a gamble.
Let's see. John has informed us in chat that he did not get anything this week. So, Raw, why don't you wrap us up?
Okay, well, I managed to make a few sales on eBay this last week, just in time for Titan Turn RC to be sold out on Toys R Us's website. So, Diecast very graciously hooked me up with one at cost, and I really like this. Thank you, Diecast.
No problem.
Hey, Rob, I'm going to apologize. I had a spare, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But I sold it on eBay.
I was debating on whether to give it to you or not so you could get one. And I have to say, I was kind of glad when I read that Diecast found you one, so I didn't have to give mine up.
I would not want to take one from you anyway. You fought so hard to get this thing. You deserve as many of those as you ever want to hoard.
So I'm and sorry about that.
You're half the reason I really wanted to get one of these anyway. So you like I said, you worked so hard for this for so long. I wanted to have one of these. Yeah. But yeah, I really like the figure. I like that blur mold in general, and it's just doing this weird like Benjamin Button thing for me where every one I get has slightly better tolerances than one before it. Like the wave one blur I have is kind of floppy and loose. Brainstorm's pretty good. Nautica is solid, and this is really, really firm. So I have no idea what the deal is there, but yeah, it looks good. I like it. And you know, now having handled that box, this was definitely intended at one point to be a mailer for the Collectors Club because it is the exact same grade of cardboard that they used for their Star Wars mailaways that I got a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So I can, you know, I asked my brother because he got that like prototype Boba Fett too. And he said, yeah, that's the exact same grade of cardboard. I remember that. So I am just looking at the design and all. I am 100% certain now that these were going to be part of a collector's club that is probably not happening at this point.
Huh. Yeah.
But the only things there's only a couple of things I don't like about it. One is that it is really hard to get the back end locked down in car mode to the point where the there's not some pink plastic showing through between the white painted parts. And it's just practically impossible to reuse that packaging in any constructive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, you know, really happy with it, and thank you again, Diecast.
No
really
problem.
Appreciate that.
Do you like the Magnus?
I do. I like, you know, having seen the Scorponok that goes with Grotesque, it really kind of feels like they're of a piece. They are both done in a comic kind of style. There were a lot of comic artists that, especially in the UK, that drew Ultra Magnus as though he was wearing like a set of like, you know,
your glasses.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, so now I really want to get that Scorponok head even more just to have them, because they feel like a set. And also, this just makes me once again regret that we didn't get like another Jeff Senior styled Thunderwing in Siege on Cybertron. But I like the Magnus. I have put it in a small container because it's never going back in that box, and I don't want it rattling around in with the other non-metal Titan Masters and chipping all its paint off.
Might just laying on my shelf.
Right, bad plan.
Yeah.
So on the subject of Grotesque, I saw Toys R Us in Hong Kong is actually selling those on store shelves.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
If you can imagine trying to sell that kind of packaging on a shelf in a store.
That's strange.
What am I buying? Just buy it. Don't worry about it.
The picture I saw, they had one opened up as a display, like to demonstrate, this is what's in these packages. Please don't steal it.
Yeah, it doesn't even have the name on the
No, it doesn't. The
box, so that would... it's a mystery!
If we have any listeners in Hong Kong, hi.
He doesn't need the whole thing, just a claw hand.
I mean, I'll take the claw hand, but I'll if that's what it takes, I'll get a second one. I don't care, I just need the dang claw hand.
Alright, so quickly this week in history, in 1986, the Transformers episode Money is Everything premieres in the US, and you may remember this as the Dirk Manis episode.
Actually one of my more enjoyed third seasons.
Well, of course it is, Don. It's the thing that sets you on your course in life.
Money is everything.
No, turning money into toys cheaper is everything. But that was a too long. That was the working title, but it was too long.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably thought it'd be like that Star Trek episode, Is There in Truth No Beauty, that nobody would ever be able to remember it correctly after the episode had aired.
But now, this is the first time we see the Terracons, right? And they just sort of show up out of nowhere?
Uh-huh.
No. So the Terracons are in the episode where the Technobots debut, which was the previous episode.
That's right.
This should have been called Money is Everything, and there goes
no. In this episode, the Terracons are working for the Quintessons out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it was nice to see the humans get a little character development. The last two basic combiner teams from G1 getting the last hurrah before, I think this is before Call of the Primitives, right? Was it after? Can't remember the order. But it was an enjoyable, fun episode.
This had to be before Call of the Primitives, because Abominus was in it.
Right.
Yeah. Abominus was in Call of the Primitives.
Yeah. It's just hard to move the order sometimes. So, yeah. Yeah, and again, Marissa's always, she was always a nice character to see the few times she was on. And Dirk's kind of the whole likable rogue Han Solo kind of thing. So it's a good episode.
It's fun.
Just don't look for a lot of high quality animation. It's got some problems.
But it's a Technobot focus episode, so that doesn't matter.
And it has Dirk Manis.
Yes.
That's our only This Week in History item, because I didn't like any of the other stuff that happened this week in history that we haven't talked about recently.
Because it was bad history. Bad history.
I'm sure if Kilby was here, he would have found something else to put in here, but I just...
Something about Kiss players, more than likely.
Now I wish...
It did star Marissa Fairbairn, and she was in Kiss players, so I'm sure there's a link somewhere.
Unfortunately, yes. Okay, so let's move on to the news with our big item of the week, which is the same as last week's big item. It's Masterpiece Dinobot, but now we have all the pictures.
And confirmed information.
I just...
So if you can't tell by Don's expression right now, the 28,000 yen price was correct!
Woo! Oh, no, no.
Yeah, that's not a woo. That's not a woo.
That's not a woo, that's a whoa.
That's a picture show.
What kind of Dononomics are going to have to go into that?
Actually, the advanced class. Probably... None. I want the figure. I mean, but I paid that for Primal because Primal is one of the ones, if you like Beast Wars, you kind of got to have Primal. And Cheetor looked good. But I'll be honest.
Colin, you have to have Dinobot. He's the main character.
I know, but geez, just
think about this way. Okay, Don, think about it this way. That Masterpiece Primal you got, he was only in that body for one season. Dinobot appeared in this form for almost two complete seasons, so it's actually like twice the value.
And
that doesn't work like that.
And he squints.
Yeah.
And he comes with more than twice as impressive. You look at him. Jeez.
Well, he was available, I believe, on Amazon Japan with free shipping for about 200.
Yeah.
Well, it's free shipping within Japan.
Okay. Well, okay.
That doesn't apply to the international shipping.
Okay.
That would be nice, but it doesn't.
Okay. All right. Because yeah. I'm sorry. Because I was looking at a screenshot of a page and I thought the page was for a U.S. destination. So I apologize about that.
He's awful big.
Yeah, he's correctly in scale with Optimus and Cheetor per the show. Jason, if you load the second link on the second or third page of the gallery, there's actually 360 view pictures so we can see the back. If you want to put that up on the screen.
All right.
Because the back of that is the robot mode. Yes. The back of that is quite a something to look at.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit it's not as bad as I expected it to be, but man, that is definitely some hunchback going on there.
It's like, wow. Hump?
What hump?
Yeah, it's not perfect. I mean, it would be impossible to make it perfect, but there are certain angles you'll want to avoid. Basically, the back in either mode is not a good thing to be looking at, I don't think.
I think the back
of the dinosaur is worse.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think the back of the Raptor mode is actually a little bit better at kind of smoothing the stuff in. Where this is just kind of like, he's growing a tumor of dinosaur parts.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at him from the backside, you might as well just call him Dino Butt. That's all you're seeing.
Red Trip did on occasion.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's a great looking figure, don't get me wrong, and I do want it. It's just, I'm having trouble justifying $200 for that. And what's even sadder,
$250, Don.
Well, okay, $250 in general. And here's the thing: if Dinobot's going to cost that much, what if they do a Megatron? Like
$350, Don.
You mean $350?
My theory on this: Dinobot obviously has a ton of moving parts in order to emulate the hand wavy magic of Mainframe's CGI.
Right,
but if you look at how Megatron's transformation was animated, it's a lot closer to how the toy worked, original toy.
Yeah,
so it's probably not going to need as much finagling of little pieces. I think they'll be able to do that probably at the same price point, even though it would be bigger.
Yeah, because it'd be bigger chunk, but it'd be simpler.
Yeah.
I actually think they did a pretty good job between robot and dino mode for what they had to work with. I'm impressed by it.
Yeah.
Eric's asked in our Skype chat how much bigger was Megatron, I presume, than Primal. Megatron was the character in the show until Rampage debuted.
Okay.
So he would be probably at least head and shoulders above Dinobot and a little bit chunkier.
I knew he was bigger than Primal. I didn't realize he was that much bigger than Dinobot.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like hugely, hugely bigger than Dinobot. Dinobot's a very big individual in the show. Megatron's like the only one that outmatches him for size.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they were having a staring contest at one point, and Dinobot had to basically just do this to look up.
Yeah.
So Megatron was
I think it was in season two, and like you could never get a great sense of the scale there, but the general impression seemed to be that Megatron got even bigger as a transmetal.
Oh yeah, that's what it looks like in the picture
I don't want season one Megatron. I want transmetal Megatron is the one that I want.
Here's the thing though. Season two, they stayed really close to the toy designs with the animation models. So while, yeah, you would definitely get like more detailed, better looking representations of those original designs, you wouldn't get a whole lot of like new innovation out of that. I'm not going to buy the Beast Wars masterpieces at all, I don't think, because it's not what I'm impressed they exist. I'm impressed the engineering's gotten to a point where they're possible to replicate those CGI models in actual transforming physical objects. But like, I would like to see that applied to those season one designs where they are more impossible versus what the original toys were, rather than rehashing, reinventing engineering that already existed, even if at a higher level of detail and complexity.
I never got out of season one. I'm seeing all these.
Well, then you missed out.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm glad about is them by them doing Dinobot and proving that they can take that CGI magical black magic transformation dust and actually make it into a physical representation means they've pushed the boundaries again on what they're able to achieve with the current toy technology, which I wonder how many characters this might open up later on down the road by them doing this that we didn't have before Dinobot was actually came into existence. It's just, I mean, I'm just sort of curious what this will lead to that we didn't think we would be able to get before now.
I mean, I think at this point with what they've accomplished with Dinobot, the next biggest challenges they would probably have would be to do either Pterosaur or Black Arachnia. Because Pterosaur involves a ton of like size changing of parts between modes.
Yeah.
The robot mode barely has any of the pterodactyl on it. And of course, Black Arachnia's entire shape changes between modes almost irreconcilably. Like Tarantulas would be easy because there's not that big a variance in the proportions. Again, that's one of the ones that really kind of hewed close to the toy even in season one. But I think, you know, they nailed Dinobot as much as is physically possible within any kind of budget. If they could just nail down Pterosaur and Black Arachnia, I think anything else after that would just be a cakewalk for them.
And the question is about Rat Trap and Rhinox. Are the Generation Ones good enough that they're going to stay away from it?
Not no, size-wise. So, Rhinox definitely is too short. Rhinox was taller than Primal, but shorter than Dinobot. If anything, Masterpiece Primal and Voyager Rhinox should be about the same height. Rat Trap probably could actually fit in, though, as it is. If the knees didn't snap off.
If they do a Masterpiece Rhinox, it must have Dinobot choking action. I'm in a bad mood.
Understand. Yes.
I want my Masterpiece Rhinox to have a voice chip so he can fart.
So, okay, what I want out of a Masterpiece Rhinox is the same thing I want out of a Masterpiece Inferno, where they have Rock'em Sock'em Robots action when you put them together.
There you go. Well, it'll be a swap out part with the extended neck with little teeth on it.
Yeah, that I would accept that. That's fine.
Wait, so did you say Black Arachnia would be tough to do? I mean, couldn't they just repaint...
I'm forgetting his name now.
Tarantulas?
Yeah.
Black Arachnia has attributes.
It was
that Tarantulas doesn't. Oh.
That is what the original toy was, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so it'd be accurate, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. To Don's delicately handled point there, that's not really the problem so much as is the spider abdomen getting that to condense down into the right shape for the robot mode. They could do it. I mean, it's doable with enough parts, enough engineering, but it's just a matter of can they actually make that work within their budget scheme. And
yes.
When we were talking about Megatron before, and Matt was... kind of jokingly referencing that even if they could do Megatron as cheap as Dinobot, they wouldn't. I don't think they want to get past the 25,000, 28,000 give or take mark for even the large masterpieces. I think that's probably pushing a little bit too far at this point.
But Eric is right in the chat. I will get a Tigertron. If they do a Tigertron,
they better do a Tigertron. It's the only one I want. I don't know why.
Well, they can redo Cheetor, right? I mean, it would be...
No, it's not and be a masterpiece accuracy, because a snow, what was he?
A white tiger,
yeah. But with no JDF, and JDF is not included in him. But, yeah, well, the white tiger would have more mass in beast mode than your cheetah would.
I'm so curious whether they would go the route of remolding Cheetor versus if they would make a new mold. I kind of think that they would try to remold Cheetor. Not necessarily just repaint him, but remold him. I don't know. Could they?
Yeah, I mean, they would end up using the same engineering skeleton because they transform identically, but they would have to use a lot of new parts to it.
I think you're looking at like Generation 2 Dreadwing's Smokescreen versus Energon Starscream. It's the same transformation design, just two different figures.
Yeah, I think in this case they would want to try to reuse as much of like the core structure of it as they could, just because that's a little bit less expense for them to have to redevelop. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there would definitely be substantial new parts. So before we move on to the next item, let's just go ahead and quickly run down the accessories Dinobot's going to come with now that we have that rundown here. So you get Dinobot, of course. You get a modular stand system. So there's two interlocking base pieces with a riser arm. And then it looks like three different kinds of adapters to attach to that for different poses in robot and dinosaur mode. So then you also get a golden disc, the Voyager disc, not the alien disc, and a little adapter so he can hold that in Raptor mode if you want him to. There's three alternate faces and then the sword that hides in the tail. There's also a clear plastic add-on part for the eye beams, and the eyes are going to light up. They apparently can light up both red and green.
Ooh, that's mean.
Yeah. So it doesn't feel like a huge variation in accessories. Like, there's not a whole lot of different stuff, but there is a lot of mass of accessories coming with this to try to pad out the cost a little bit.
I love how it makes his tail look like an accessory. Like, it's not even connected. Just like, it comes with the tail.
Yeah.
What are those pieces in the bottom left-hand corner?
Those are the stand adapters.
Oh.
So depending, you know, what mode, what position you have Dinobot in, you would attach one of those to the end of the stand arm, and it's like cradle pieces, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I saw on one of the pictures of the back, there is a port on there, so I think you can plug the stand in directly also. But in case these will support it in more, you know, obtuse poses that the post on the stand might not hold up to.
The only accessory he doesn't come with that I thought for sure he would come with would be a potted flower to give Primal.
Maybe that'll be the Amazon Japan exclusive.
Yeah. Could be.
Yep. Yeah, I figured that would be like the obvious thing to do.
Or it'll be the Hasbro Asia exclusive, and it'll just be like, you know, diecast silver potted plant. Hi, Matt.
I was really hoping you'd be done talking about this by the time I got back.
we almost were, but Chris had to go through the accessories.
Did you see what John sent in the chat, though? Tigertron's way bigger than Cheetor than we remembered.
No, I know he's taller than Cheetor. I mean, they can
by
still
that much, though?
He's
I think
so
much
taller.
That's an odd-looking photo, though, so.
He sent several.
Yeah.
There's more.
Oh,
he's taller than Primal in one picture, or is he on something? Maybe he might be on top of something there. Oh, but he's definitely
was on something.
Substance abuse. Is that what you're saying?
He's giving Black Arachne a back massage.
All that snow he's around isn't snow. It's all that white powder isn't snow.
That made me think of the Deadpool 2 trailer, which just came out.
Sad accessory. He'll come with a little fixed pose snow stalker.
In the Yamcha pose. You know the one. So, Matt, we are basically done talking about Dinobot now, but you still didn't come back at the right time because it's time for the big sad face this week, which is Titans Return from Shinra goes live with the first two episodes.
Oh boy.
I did not watch this because I have self-respect.
I
still haven't watched Combiner Wars.
Good on you.
Oh, you didn't?
I actually did watch it, and I didn't hate myself afterwards.
I'm hanging up on Dawn.
I'm saying it wasn't great, but I enjoyed the two episodes more than I enjoyed anything in Combiner Wars, other than Megatron being the Megatron from Combiner Wars was the only highlight of the thing. But I didn't hate it.
It is significantly better paced than the first one. Longer episodes did work out as I hoped they did. I don't think it's, so far it's not really grabbing me as anything as spectacular, but it's also, you know, it's also not a hilarious train wreck, which under, you know, the Hey Mickey rules may actually be a downgrade. But the most noteworthy thing about it, to me at least, is that they actually got Victor Crowley in to do the Combiner Wars recap narration.
Yeah.
Is it actually him?
Yes.
It is actually him, per Chris McFeely.
Now, I will say this. I think this should be like the Transformers Lost Night with a giant asterisk. For a Machinima-produced Transformers series, this is a lot better than the first one.
Well, yeah, like the summaries I've been hearing of these first two episodes basically boil down to the writing is better, but all of the technical components of it are just as bad as the first time.
Very much.
The audio mixing is
entirely true.
Yeah, because I think several people, including Vangelis, pointed this out. The audio mixing is absolutely atrocious. Yeah. I had to put my ear to my speaker to understand what Hot Rod was saying when in a couple of his scenes. It's like, yeah, I'm literally having to put my ear on my computer speaker to understand what he is saying, and I'm still having to replay it three or four times to figure out what he's saying.
And the trailers kind of proved the animation hasn't improved either.
No, it really hasn't. Like, I mean, there might be a few minor improvements here or there, but it's still got that Zoid's Chaotic Century frame rate.
I enjoyed the fact that the Mistress of Flame is like, you know, Optimus, you should probably stay. And Optimus is just like, you know, you guys got a mess here. I'm just going to let you guys clean that up. Bye.
Yeah.
And then it's like he drives away by driving away, turning around, and then whipping past the Mistress of Flames. Like, apparently that's a Cybertronian middle finger or something. I don't know.
Yes, he stops to honk goodbye, like right in front of her, and then leaves.
Goodbye.
But no, that's like, in I hate to say it, but in terms of the voice acting, the Mistress of Flame is kind of a drag on this.
Mm-hmm.
She does not know how to do formal without doing stiff, and it is her performance, I'm sorry to say, is really not helping this at all.
Yeah, it's just kind of like she's becoming across as like, you know, regal, like kind of, you know, a queen like, and she's coming across as like she's reading from an index card with no vocal inflection.
Mm-hmm. Well, considering that the voice direction to Will Wheaton was basically, hey, make sure you sound like Will Wheaton, I don't know who's voice directing this thing, but wow.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have said, make sure
that explains a lot.
You know?
I mean, voice direction, I figured out about 12 years ago when a Gundam game called the Gundam Mark II, the Gundam MK2, that voice direction is a grossly underappreciated position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we had that epiphany at the same time, even.
Probably. Well, we both had that game, so yes.
Yeah. It appears Diecast and Eric are bored with their conversation about Titan's Return, and frankly, so am I. So let's move on to the other news.
Okay.
Perfectly fair.
I want to watch it. I just haven't yet. But, so.
But just to sum up, yes, so far it is better than the first one, so it might be worth another look if the first one was, you know, not your cup of tea.
Oh, and real
quick.
How much of what
was in the trailers was in the first two? It's the first two episodes, right? How much, have we seen, how much from the trailers is left is what I mean. Was a lot of it in the first episodes or no?
I'd say a fair bit from what I remember of the trailers. I don't remember the trailers that well, so I can't really say beyond that.
Yeah. And for everyone who in Combiner Wars was a little annoyed by the Mistress of Flames binking on her staff. Yeah. They make a point to make sure she does that a lot. So I don't know what kind of message they're sending, but
I'd say it's a message of doubling down, but I don't. Luckily, they didn't double down on the rating, at least so far.
Yeah,
I mean, remember, this was the Game of Thrones of Transformers,
and that we wish everyone would die.
Someone somewhere apparently said that, and they quoted it.
Yes, yes, they did.
So, moving on to the rest of the news, mercifully. This kind of came up, developed, and fizzled out all in the course of the week since RFC last week. Hasbro Mattel takeover rumors swirling. Optimus Prime, Barbie to finally wed. Jack wrote that headline, I believe. So I'm just going to sum this up by saying that via other sources, it appears Mattel is still not actually interested, and this was all on Hasbro's side.
Okay, that's how it's been for a while.
We should just start saying Disney's going to buy Hasbro again, and that'll probably be next week's news.
And also, I did predict that within 5 years, Hasbro would own Mattel. I was wrong this time, but it's coming. I will be right.
I mean, you still have 5 years.
I know, exactly. I gave myself plenty of leeway.
That's the best way to always be right. Just say things vague enough that eventually it's going to come true in some context related to what you said.
Yeah.
These are the secrets to XV success.
You know what I learned about this is I learned that Hasbro is a lot larger than Mattel, I would not.
They have been for a little while now.
Yeah, Mattel, I would not have
very
guessed that.
Strong in its very specific fields. Hasbro is more about trying to grow themselves into new areas, diversify, keep cycling themselves forward so they can keep going and still have this power. With Mattel, it's basically, hey, Barbie's been popular. Let's stick with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did acquire the Halo license, in all fairness. So they did get the license.
Well, and they also acquired Mega Bloks. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they
Mega Constructs?
It is now. Still Mega Bloks. So it was probably, some of their geniuses that decided, let's make the collector brand its own imprint. So Mattel is making its own efforts, but yeah, Hasbro is definitely the one with the the buying power here, should such a thing take place. But yeah, right now this is still rumor, wishful thinking on Hasbro's part mostly, so all the fun pet theories of what would happen if they merged, like getting a Mega Bloks G.I. Joe line, which was my personal pet theory. We can just shelve all those for now. Because really, there's no other way to advance G.I. Joe at this point than to, I think, just commit it fully to like building block toys with little mini action figures.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I mean, Hasbro's really not doing much with it anyway. They could just license it out to Mattel.
Does anyone want it though? That might have sounded mean, but I mean, I don't hate G.I. Joe, but I'm saying from a company perspective, do you really want it?
Well, I loved the G.I. Joe Creos, but they didn't do well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. No, I don't think anyone really wants the license because there's nowhere that it's really seeming like it's going to go.
Well, that's the thing. Like, G.I. Joe has potential, but you need the right people with the right mindset who are willing to take the chances and try to evolve it into something that will work in today's reality, pretty much. And you need Hasbro to be on board with supporting that.
Yeah,
that'll take you a little while to find.
Right. Getting that whole handshake to work out is the stumbling block, and I don't think that's a small part of why it keeps getting pushed off and off and off the supposed G.I. Joe relaunch that we've been hearing is going to happen since about 2012.
They're like, hey, can we have another G.I. Joe movie? No? Okay, never mind. Cancel the rerun.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get a toy line started without another movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rob, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting on this next one. Japanese comedy duo Downtown to become headmasters for Japan-exclusive Cerebros Recolor.
Yes, I did a lot of research for this one because it's bless bizarre. You, sir. Thank you. this comedy duo Downtown are one of the longest working and most respected comedy groups in Japan. Like, if you hear a lot of people, if you travel in the correct like weeb circles and hear that, you know, Kansai dialect is kind of equated with comedy, it's because of these guys. So that's they're kind of a big deal in Japan. This, I, you know, it, the best way to probably put it would be, it would be the equivalent of getting a Cerebros with Martin and Lewis headmasters. And this is, if you buy the DVD or Blu-ray of their like annual special, they do this like quote unquote reality show thing every year. It's a competition where they bring in a bunch of other comedians, put them in this ridiculous scenario and try to make them laugh. And if you laugh, you apparently get like, you know, spanked or, you know, other various
pie in the seppuku? Face.
Yeah. Yeah. Other various like slapstick punishments and the like. And this is from the one they did last year that was set in a science lab. So that is why there's a robot thing here. And if you buy that, you will get a coupon that will let you buy this bizarre thing for 9,500 yen. You will get two headmasters for the Cerebros unit and the Cerebros unit itself, which does turn into a Fortress Maximus head with a mystery face. My best bet's going to be it's that like kind of Einstein-y scientist face that they show on the logo for this thing. And that thing's going to have a hell of a weird voice, Jim.
Well, it's Japanese, so it's pretty much a given.
I bet you it won't play the Headmaster's theme.
No, I bet it won't.
No, you have to hold in the button for like 10 seconds and then press it 3 times, and then it'll play the Headmaster's theme.
Yes, but yeah, that's this is really weird. It requires an outlay of cash to buy the DVD and then buy the thing. It's going to cost a fortune to import. And you know, it is, however, you know, one of those really completely inexplicable exclusives, and those are always fun.
To a point, yeah. I don't think it's, you know, fun, you know, like $200 or $300 when all is said and done.
No.
Yeah, I have no interest in it.
Yeah,
I want to see the finished thing, obviously. Like, I'm interested in it being an actual physical existing thing, but yeah, I don't need to own it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a review of it. And, you know, if you ever see one of these on Taobao for like $20, I might actually be interested. But other than that, no.
I would love that for $20. I would so snatch that up.
You know, when I first saw this, I was thinking, okay, that's Primal. He's becoming a head. Maybe they're going to do my idea of making turn Fortress Maximus into like Fortress a Beast Maximus. Wars. Yeah, Fortress Maximal, and it'd be like a Beast Wars colored Maximal base, and Primal would be the head.
What's the color of Beast Wars, Don?
Well, you know, lots of, you know, golds and like greens and golds and
so just, Euro G1.
Well, I'm thinking more like
it would be Beast Wars, apparently.
Well, I'm thinking more like, you know, just neutral tones, earth colors. You know, it's not, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
It's not as solid as his Dinobot Island Trypticon idea.
No, it's not, but it's.
I mean, you know, you hit upon the magic, then, you know, when you try again, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So
sooner or later, if I'm vague enough, I'll be right.
Hey, don't steal my tricks. So in better news, we finally have a new release date for the Takara Tomy release of Cogman.
Hey. Wait, we do?
It's coming out at the end of December now.
When did that get announced? I totally missed that.
This week? Already passed 7 days.
Wow. I meant like what day if you knew, but
not offhand. If we open up the article, we can see what they were posting.
Story was Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah, so as usual, it happened right in time to not make RFC last week.
Perfect.
Uh-huh. That's when all the good stuff happens.
As soon Pretty as much. I saw this news article, I was like, oh, I have to cancel that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've still got my order open at HLJ as far as I know, and I think I'm going to hold on to it. I mean, that back hinge on the Cogman I got from you, Diecast, is messed up. It wouldn't hurt to have a spare that would hopefully be, you know, more intact. I don't think the Deco is going to be significantly different, because outside of the movie The Best Line, they aren't really that different from the Hasbro ones. But, you know, a second Cogman for the same thing I paid for my first one, I think I'll just hold on to that since I have the opportunity.
There's my Scorponok riding with Cogman.
Nice.
They see me rolling.
They hate it. So I'm kind of disappointed Kilby was not here for this next item. Transformers versus G.I. Joe, Megatron art figures, Kid Robot exclusive figures.
Toys R Us, right?
Yeah. I saw this and I went, I actually like this. I want this. And then I saw it was $50 and I said, no, I don't.
Did you say 50?
Yeah, isn't it 50? On their website, okay. I thought that's what it said.
I haven't visited the website. I will do that now and be astonished.
I'm pretty sure.
Why does he have a...
Yeah, right now we are just looking at the T-Formers article, which does not include pricing information. But what we do have is two variations of Megatron in one color scheme that's favoring shades of gray. The other one is a much lighter gray with purple accents, which, while certainly striking looking, I'm not sure if it's sourced from something specific in the comic.
I can't remember. Okay.
I didn't actually read Transformers versus G.I. Joe. I just couldn't get my head around that crazy.
No. And my understanding is that, yes, Megatron did in fact have his fusion cannon on the wrong arm in the series.
Yeah.
But he had a Grimlock head on his other hand, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's acceptable.
But yeah, apparently they're doing like a larger scale, like art figures that are $50 each. They're like 7 inches tall or so, but they're doing a set of smaller blind box figures for like $10 each. So,
oh yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably if you want that version of Megatron, keep an eye out on eBay, cause you'll probably be able to pick one of the smaller ones up for like $15-$20.
And I mean, there's just as likely to be some kind of code printed on the package that can be figured out for what the contents are. Almost everything has that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go in for a blind bag, no problem. It's just when I saw this, I thought, oh, this would be a cool figure. And then I went to the website and went, oh, well, okay, maybe not the big, because I would like the larger size, but no, I'll blind bag it if it's going to be that much.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is what got tapped for one of these, you know, art figure projects like this. I mean, given, you know, it's a lot like... well, some people are not going to like it, but it's a lot like anime. The fandom that exists around it is very passionate, if not large. So it's cool that they've got a little something they can hold on to, finally. So up next, movie masterpiece Barricade has been officially announced with new photo and official specs.
Looks pretty good.
I don't know. I can't get excited about this figure.
Why is the face white?
I think it was over, the original toy.
Isn't it? And, I thought it was silver.
It looks really white in the pictures, but yeah.
And he doesn't come with a frenzy, which kind of bothers me.
No, but that's apparently he has a moving mouth plate. So I think you can pretend he's talking, like move his mouth, I guess. He doesn't have a voice chip, but I swear there's a feature I saw somewhere.
I wonder what question we'd make ours ask.
My
what's
friend
the,
wouldn't
what's
let
wrong
that
with
go.
The headmaster?
Well, sure.
Can't they fight without Crotome?
I was more thinking, are you ladies man?
Are you ladies
two,
man
whatever,
217.
217.
217.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the information here. I like that one of the things they specifically call out features 170 deco operations.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
It is interesting because they don't usually reveal like a specific number of paint operations on a given toy. So it's kind of distinctive that they're calling that out in particular on this one.
Yeah. Well, Barricade always had a lot because of the Punish and Enslave and the police and the other logos that he had on it. So I guess they want to be like, it's going to have all those logos that you expect.
Also, they call out the iconic rotor blade wheel weapon from the Transformers movie. I do not remember this.
I remember.
He flings it at Bumblebee. It's on screen for a max of 5 seconds, probably.
Yep.
Sounds iconic. About right. I only remember it because I've got the like Movie Masters figure for the first movie of Barricade, and it came with that because they had like knockoff Revoltech joints, and I was kind of interested in that.
I'm surprised it doesn't have the extending headlights with like the claws on it.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. This is looking more and more like this is the 10th anniversary of the first movie. And how long do we have? Do we have 2 more years before it's the 10th anniversary of the second movie?
Yeah, 2019 is what it would be. Yeah.
And then we're going to get a new Prime, and we're going to get a new Barricade, and he's going to have not Frenzy. In that movie. Oh, was Frenzy in the first movie?
Frenzy's in the first movie. Yeah, I think part of Frenzy's in the second one.
It's been a while since I watched those movies. Okay, never mind. Yeah, this should have Frenzy. I can't. If this had Frenzy, I'd buy it, but just like this, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting that you would only want it if it had Frenzy.
They're a team. I mean, it's like buying a headmaster without a head.
It's not that special.
Yeah, I was going to say, they spent approximately like 2 minutes together, maybe?
Yeah, it's not like they're peanut butter and jelly or sliced cheese and Miracle Whip, you know.
Honestly,
not...
it'd be more of a thing if they did a masterpiece blackout and it did not have Scorponok attached to it.
Yeah.
Because that was a lot more of a distinct unit they formed.
Yeah.
Where Frenzy just seemed to be doing a ride along.
I'm curious how the new the blackout we're going to get in that new movie series would scale to a masterpiece.
Well, leader class, so I mean, it'd probably be passable-ish?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm kind of curious now.
Well, I'm sure we'll see that at Toy Fair.
I really hope so. I'm actually kind of excited about that. Probably the only one on this show that is really excited about that.
Probably.
Possibly.
Well, Diecast? Now that Matt had to drop off for internet
Blackout?
Issues, yes.
Yeah, a new Blackout. I'd be interested to see that.
So let's see. Bumblebee the Movie official title and logo revealed at production wrap party. The official title is Bumblebee the Movie.
What a surprise.
Boy, they worked hard on that one.
Well, remember the working title was Transformers Universe Bumblebee.
That would have been neater.
That's sort of like the Transformers the Movie. It's like, yeah, it just sort of rolls just right off the tongue.
I'm actually surprised it doesn't say Bumblebee the Movie with John Cena.
Now, if John Cena was basically, you know, Bumblebee's target master, you know, that would be kind of...
No, he's the new Agent Simmons. He's Sector 7, supposedly. So, you know, that's what you get to look forward to, John Cena being Agent Simmons now.
Well, not Simmons specifically.
No, but... specifically.
It's, wait,
he,
really?
He has an age... No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
He has an age...
No, I mean, it's a live-action movie. Anything is possible.
And then it's going to go to a spinoff series on Netflix called Young Agent Simmons.
He looked a lot better in the 80s, you know?
Don, to be honest, I would watch that. Like, if it's just Simmons and Dutch and their adventures around the world, I would totally watch that. That has a lot of potential, I think. Okay, so next up, we have... some other movie-related news. Paramount's Chinese financing arrangement has been dissolved.
Oh.
So Paramount had been in agreement with, Wawa Media, and they were going to help to finance some of Paramount's movie production, which would then be released in China. But, you know, Paramount did not have a very good year for movies this year. Mm. And apparently, the part of the Chinese government that decides whether these foreign investment deals are a good idea or not decided this isn't a good idea anymore.
In all fairness, this isn't just Transformers, right?
No, it's not just Transformers, but Transformers did contribute.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it's not.
Paramount cites recent changes to the Chinese foreign investment policies as being behind this. But, you know, Ghost in the Shell, Baywatch, and Transformers were Paramount's big three flops this year.
And they flopped hard.
Well, Baywatch, did you see the trailers for that? Of course that thing flopped.
I tried not to, let's put it that way.
Same. Horrible.
No, see, Transformers, like, worldwide, Transformers did pretty well. It just fell short of the expectations of the studios, and that's the problem. If they'd been more realistic on that side of it, I think it would have been looked at as being more successful than it is.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I thought it did better over there than here, so I don't see
it. It did, but it didn't do as well as Age of Extinction
did. They said
it
would.
Well, that
both.
So, I mean, it was an underperformer by everybody's metrics, and combined with Paramount's other underperformances this year, you know, it's just, it's over with. Back in August, a bunch of Paramount executives went to China to talk to their partners at Wawa Media to try to, you know, reassure them, convince them everything was going to be okay. We need to continue moving this forward. It didn't work, obviously. So Paramount's also spinning this that, you know, now they have opportunities to engage in investments with other groups, other companies, including Hasbro for future movie productions. They're trying to make this sound really good.
There is so much spin on that thing, it's turned into a merry-go-round.
So, you know, Bumblebee already was being produced on a smaller budget and is mostly in the can at this point. Principal photography is done now, or very close to it, if not. So I think the first echo we're going to feel directly off of this is going to be if there's like a change in scope for the still theoretical 2019 Transformers sequel. You know, if that gets pushed off another year or gets really drastically changed from what we left off on in the last night, we can probably point back to this and say, well, you know, A leads to B leads to C.
Yeah, I think Bumblebee will have a big impact on it too.
Yeah, it will, definitely.
I think that'll have the biggest impact, probably.
Well, yeah, it's got John Cena in it. How could it not?
As Agent Simmons, yeah, we've been over this.
Well, Baywatch had The Rock, and that did so well.
Maybe they should put The Rock.
Well, yeah, I know it had The Rock. It sunk.
The Rock almost got in Transformers 4. But anyway, he was almost.
So 3A presents new exclusive G1 Ultra Magnus high-end licensed figure. Now, Diecast, you must want this. It costs a ton of money.
it's too skinny for me. I don't like the proportions on it.
I agree with you. There's just something about the way that the proportions of the torso just kind of meld into one another. There's no like clear definition between the upper and lower torso. It's all just kind of an amorphous blob. It just doesn't really do it for me. The if you're going to do G1 characters, you need defined shapes. They need to be boxes.
Yeah, they had a 3A table at TFCon, so yeah. I think everyone there got to see them, and I wasn't impressed. Yeah.
Basically, it's another White Optimus. Thanks, Dreamwave.
I really like it. I'm not going to buy it.
I always like that, you know, starting with Dreamwave, the cab robot Ultra Magnus got acknowledged more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's easy to just focus on what was in Transformers the movie with the trailer armor. I liked having that alternative be kind of a thing in the consciousness, but I mean, this is definitely outside my area of collecting. 3A is also the one that does the high-end movie design figures, right? And those look a lot better if you're into movie designs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it just me or is the faceplate really dark on it? It almost looks black.
It's darker, yeah.
Yeah, like really dark. That's not like a thing that usually is on like the white cab robot, is it?
I thought cab robot Magnus had like a blue faceplate.
I think it is blue. I think it's just really, really dark
blue, yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Diecast, this is the one for you. Fans Toys unveils the FT-30 project. Masterpiece scale aerial bots.
And they're saying it's going to be the biggest combiner ever.
In scale with Omega Supreme.
Yeah, Omega Supreme. And they're saying late 2018, so you know we're not seeing this till at least 2019.
Which is interesting, because they seem to have like the gray prototypes for all five. They're just defocused the other four in the background to not show them off yet. So, I mean, it seems like they should be farther along in development than to be coming out late next year.
I think the problem is they have so many other figures in front of it.
You know, that reminds me of another third party company that didn't go so well. What was the name of that? Oh yeah, Fans Project.
you know, I think
way to contribute, Don.
I agree.
Don, your internet froze for a second. Can you start over from the top?
I'm sorry.
Can you start over from the top of the show?
I like the way the Silver Bolt looks, but again, we're rehashing old ground again.
Don, be quiet. You're wrong. No,
this is only the second Superion, though, so we still have five more to go, right?
This is the best looking Silver Bolt,
right? No. I mean, I'm not diecast. I'm not bad mouthing the Silver. I think the Silver Bolt looks great. It's just I would rather have seen them if they're going to do something like this. Do a combiner that hasn't already been done in some fashion.
Okay, Don. What if when we first see this in color, it's actually in G2 colors? Like, what if that's the primary release?
Yeah, I'm thinking. He lost.
It's just, I would like to have seen them do a Raiden or do something that hasn't been done before. If you're going to do this scale, come out swinging with that. No one's done it yet.
No one would know what scale that's supposed to be anyway. They'll be like, is that supposed to be next to Omega Supreme? It's a Raiden. Who wants a Raiden? Not a lot of people are going to buy that.
What you do with Raiden is you make it the same size as Combiner Wars Devastator, because in the Headmasters, they ended up being the rival teams.
Yeah, it's just, again, I love the Aerial Bots. The Aerial Bots have the best looking design in combiner mode as far as the uniform look and the uniform colors. It's also the most boring to look at because it's white and red and highlights of black.
Are blacks really considered highlights?
Well, when it's white and red, you would consider that highlights breaking up the pattern. The cockpit stuff.
I think you could phrase them as highlights since they provide contrast. I'll allow it.
I don't know that we've gotten a decent masterpiece Aerial Bots team yet. I mean,
somebody's
we have
working
TFC,
on one. Oh, the TFC Toys. One wasn't masterpiece scale. Yeah, Zeta Toys is working on one, but I don't think they've released any yet.
They haven't.
Or if
released
they have, it's
any.
Only one or two.
And they're kind of unknown. We know that at one time they were connected with Toy World.
So, I mean, we can't really say at this point that there's not a good masterpiece scale option besides this one. Because like you just pointed out, the Zeta Toys one is an unknown quantity. It's a risk, but it might also turn out to be a good project. I like the way this Fans Toy Silver Bolt looks. They've captured a lot of the embellishments of the cartoon model pretty well, which for what Masterpiece is right now, I think is more in keeping with the style of what you might have otherwise on your shelf. But, I'm not prepared to say, this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the one that we need to have. The other one could be just good, too. It's also not really rehashy because it's only the second one and neither one's come to market yet. If we get two or three more in the next 5 months, then we're back in Springer territory. But right now,
I like it. I'm going to get it.
Oh, yeah, we knew you were going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew as soon as I saw this come up, there goes Diecast's next $1,500.
Oh,
don't make it. How much is it going to be?
I mean, mm-hmm. Silverbolt's probably going to be
around 200, probably.
Oh, God.
If they're making this, if they want this to be the biggest third-party combiner so far, like Diecast is saying, it's going to have to be pretty big and pretty beefy to support that. So it's probably going to be up there.
Yeah, I heard biggest combiner so far, and then someone asked, is it even bigger than the Toy World Devastator? Because I think that's one of the biggest combiners that we have right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we got an answer on that yet, but it was stated by Fans Toys that it's going to be the biggest combiner.
But you won't know how much Silverbolt is until you've already bought the limbs, because that's why they released Torso Boss last. that's definitely why. Yeah,
show like, them first, release them last.
release the most expensive one last when they already have the other parts, so they have to finish it. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
why
it looks like Silverbolt's going to be first, so.
Well, we'll see.
It would be breaking the trend.
I'm just kind of upset.
It's labeled FT30A, so yeah, presumably it would be the first release, but things happen.
Well, no, that's the first part of Silverbolt. Then the second half of Silverbolt.
Yeah, so FT30A, you get like the robot parts. FT30B is all the parts to strap on for the jet mode.
Ah, yeah, yeah. See, exactly.
And then I am disappointed that this wasn't Masterpiece Unicron, because I'm waiting for them to do Masterpiece-sized Unicron, which should
be... So you can live in it?
Yeah.
So I can sit next to me.
Well, after Cam kicks him out, he'll need a place to live.
He may be able to live in it, but he could probably use it as like a hamster ball. hamster ball.
Yeah. At any rate, the box it comes in will easily be a storage shed for you. I mean,
yes.
So,
Transformers
once again fails to enter the Toy Hall of Fame. You won't believe what beat it.
A stick.
No.
But it's made out of trees.
Yes, at some point in its past life, it was made out of trees. So, the three new inductees to the Toy Hall of Fame this year were the board game Clue.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, that's fair. The Wiffle Ball and the Paper Airplane.
The paper airplane doesn't count.
No, it does
it's
not
something you sell. Like, I don't know.
Here's the thing. It could have been worse, because also up for nomination this year was sand.
Oh my God.
It's everywhere. Get used to it.
For all the Star Wars fans out there, I wish sand would have made it. That would have been hilarious. God, I want that to happen.
I love
like, who's guess voting for it. This stuff? Are they like 90? Well, you have I'll sand. That's what I played with when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
And next year, we're going to induct the pail. Next year, we're going to induct the pail. Because that's how we played with our sand.
The year after that,
water. Because you put water in the little moat around your sandcastle.
Yeah.
A toy.
And then one year it'll be the little toy rake and the shovel to go with the pail to go with the sand.
And if it's an old Jewish guy, we're going to get the dreidel is going to be next year's inductee.
Oh boy, I was really scared where that was going for a second. So our last two items we can go to quickly here. We have new stock photos of Power of the Primes Leader Wave 2 Rodimus Unicronus, which shows the small hot rod component being fairly closely based on the shattered glass hot rod design from BotCon years past, and the Rodimus mode being more its own thing a little bit. But it does have a new head with the visor and the Macho Man mustache.
Yeah, I can say this is, ooh, yeah!
Machismo!
No, like it's more of a snap into it kind of thing.
Yeah, well...
And then we also have partial case assortments for Wave 2. We have details for the Prime Masters, Voyagers, and Leader class. Some of this will sound familiar if you remember a series of leaks from a little while ago. So Wave 2 of the Prime Masters will be introducing Alpha Trion with the Landmine Decoy Suit and Alchemist Prime with Submarauder. That will be carrying forward the Liege Maximo Prime Master with the Skull Grin suit and Vector Prime with Metal Hawk. But it will be dropping Micronus Prime with Cloudburst from the Wave 1 assortment. So get that one while you can, I guess.
So
next up is Voyagers, which will be one each of Elita 1 and Hunger, because apparently Voyagers are now predominantly cases of 2 instead of 4 like they used to be. And Leader Wave 2 is one each of Optimus Prime and Rodimus Unicronus.
When are these going to be out? Because we haven't even gotten an official announcement on Elita 1, right?
So Southern Hobby Supply, who has this information up, has these marked with a December 18th availability, but I think that's just the date for when they can sell Wave 1.
Also, I'm getting confused now. I know that this isn't part of this news item. Which deluxes are supposed to be in Wave 2?
Two more Dinobots.
Darkwing. Right?
And Cutthroat? One of the Terracons.
There's two Dinobots, a Terracon. Dinobots,
Blackwing, a Terracon, and I want to say Moonracer. I think it's a five-figure wave.
So we have to wait another... Wait, oh, yeah, it is a five. I was thinking, because that's what I was confused about. I was thinking about the two Dinobots, and I was like, is one getting pushed back another wave to wave three? No, I think you're right. I think we do have a five deluxe wave.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We're waiting on official confirmation from that on that, but that is what was leaked. And everything that I don't think they've shown us. Yeah, I guess they have shown us three waves worth of deluxes at this point, but it seems to all line up with the leaks pretty well so far.
And that's the wave before the price increase, right?
No, wave two is when the price increase is supposed to hit.
Oh, I thought it hit with wave three with the main Terracon wave.
Maybe it does.
Could be.
I wouldn't mind getting an extra wave of the lower prices.
Especially because you get an extra figure in that wave too. So
yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah, I think the way Power of the Primes is already hitting stores, we may be able to see this wave in January.
It's possible.
I hope not, because like that leak, we only have information on three waves for most of the price points. So I mean, if we get wave two in January and then wave three in like March or maybe April at the latest,
yep,
we might not have much generations left for the rest of the year.
Yep.
I mean, like, there's a lot of movie stuff that they're pushing forward for this year, but I mean, they have not been suspending generations for the movie in quite a while. I hope they're not going to start that again.
Age of Extinction, right? Did they even do it with Age of Extinction?
No, Age of Extinction was, I think, when they first started letting generations keep running alongside.
Yeah, I think you are right.
Dark of the Moon was the last movie where they suspended generations for the movie line.
I remember in an interview, John Warden said that, yeah, we know that the collectors like it when we keep generations going at the same time as the movies, so that's probably not going to happen anymore. So
yeah, but they like to switch it up and see how well it does. And because it didn't do too well with this movie, the running consecutively, maybe they will suspend it again just for sales reasons. Like, well, this is all you can buy now, so you might as well buy it.
Well, and the other thing too, if they're not having to support two product lines simultaneously, it's less resources they have to put into what's going on. It's less to keep current and refreshed. And you know, if they considered letting generations run alongside with the last two movies as being kind of an experiment, well, maybe this time it didn't work out quite the way they hoped it would, et cetera, et cetera. Also, if they're launching that Cyberverse line for next year, they might want to focus on having that and the movie run side by side.
Robots in Disguise isn't over toy line wise, is it? I swear it has gone. They said there were still a few more Robots in Disguise products yet to be revealed.
That would be Thermidor, Twinferno, Bludgeon.
Those are revealed though. I swear they said that there were some that were not revealed. I could be wrong.
It sure doesn't seem like there's any momentum.
I know it doesn't
seem
like it. That's why I was so surprised when I heard it, but I am almost entirely.
Yeah.
One of the guys was like, yeah, that's all the Robots in Disguise stuff over there. There's nothing new.
Reveal anything at HasCon like new with Robots in Disguise, but I swear someone asked them and they said there still is product that has not been revealed yet, which
I
is really weird because the show is over.
I remember at BotCon 2015, they didn't really talk any about Robots in Disguise either because they thought the collectors didn't care. I think after that point, they kind of clued in that, yeah, we do kind of care about, we want to hear about stuff that's not just generations. So they were talking and showing a little bit more about that at 2016. And then, but I think, yeah, at this point, we're in the tail end of Robots in Disguise. And if Cyberverse doesn't start immediately with the new year, like Robots in Disguise did in 2015, it's not going to be far off from that.
Yeah.
Have we seen anything for toys for that line?
Nope.
Like leaks. I mean leaks, not official.
So maybe there was the Cyber Battalion looking Optimus Prime and Starscream that weren't Cyber Battalion.
Oh yeah.
So that's probably one arm of the toy line for that.
Rob, is there a Grimlock too?
There's possibly there is a Grimlock that's possibly part of Cyberverse, but that's those are all part of the Transformers Authentics line, which currently in my flip flopping, I am assuming is a separate thing.
Okay. Yeah, like the your dollar store type. Yeah.
How many toy lines are we gonna have going on next year?
That's the other question, is maybe why Generations takes a break after the first round of Power of the Primes is done, because we'd have Authentics, the tail end of RID, maybe Cyberverse, the movie line, and Generations. That's kind of nuts.
Go ahead, Eric.
But Generations has to last till the summer, because that's when they're going to release Predaking, right? That's when they always do the Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably.
So I would assume it has to last till the summer at least. So either the waves are going to get way more spread out than we think, or there's going to be another wave that hits by summer, right?
So my thinking here is that if Cyberverse is the media imprint, what we know of as Transformers Authentics might be part of the toy support for that. So we may be having like a bunch of lines at one time. We're just going to have a different iterations of the same kind of stuff going on. So the media is going to be this. There's going to be toys that support that under this brand, which may also have other stuff in it. You know, hard to say on that. As for Generations, it really, the way we saw the waves laid out in the leaks, it really feels like they're dialing that back from what we've had the last couple of years. So whether it is suspended or not for movie, Cyberverse, Authentics, whatever, I think we are going to see that become less of a prominent player in the near future.
Especially because this is the first movie toy line that we've had that isn't like directly tied to a movie, right?
I think this would have been tied to the Bumblebee movie, because the store inventory data leaks, I think, were street dated the movie stuff for 420. And if Bumblebee's original release was going to be in June, I think, so that'd be a reasonable street date to get the movie product out to coincide with the movie. But, you know, the movie got pushed back to December. You can't just hold all those toys for 6 months. So that's going to have to just continue on as it was going to, and, you know, hope that it has enough traction to keep going until the movie actually comes out.
I was just going to say, so those, you know, figures of the four characters that we know the Bumblebee movie is going to have, maybe that's our SDCC or HasCon exclusive next year, a box set of those four.
And I'm thinking too, with the Cyberverse versus Authentics thing, they may be waiting to Toy Fair to reveal that, so they're not going to actually have that out until maybe the early spring then. We didn't really get anything of that between SDCC or HasCon, so if they want to make a show of that, they're going to have to do it at Toy Fair now.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% certain there's a connection, because we're already getting things with the Authentics character designs on shelves, and that's just really weird if this was tied to a new show. So it's going to be really interesting to learn more about Cyberverse and see what is up with this.
You could look at it in the opposite direction too, though, that Cyberverse is going to have its character designs based on the Authentics.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, go in that direction for a change, honestly, because a lot of stuff's been media first, then toy design. This might be more, we're creating these designs for toys primarily, and we're going to cycle that backward into the shows.
Well, at the very least, we should be at least getting something that we can, some kind of information that we can glom onto in Toy Fair, where it's not just we've already seen all the Power of the Prime stuff. So,
or it'll all leak out on Weibo next week.
Entirely.
Yeah.
I have one quick question. Okay. Do you think it's possible that we could get a conference call like you guys have had before on T-Formers in between now and Toy Fair? Or do you think the time frame is too short? Not necessarily on that, but on anything like related with all the toy lines.
Possible, but I'm not expecting it. So the last one that happened was really to talk about the tail end of the movie line. which most of which has not been released in the US, even though that's been months and months now. The other, the one before that was really to just kind of try to take control of and get out in front of more leaks of the Titans Return stuff. So we're not in a situation right now where I think either of those things applies. So probably at this point, we're going to be waiting until Toy Fair, just unless they want to, you know, take an hour out and just engage with the fan sites a little bit in the meantime with some token presentation, some token effort just to kind of keep us involved. But I'm expecting our next thing to be Toy Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so real quick. Of course, that was supposed to be real quick. yeah, we're running a little bit long this week. So, no, it's good questions, though. It's good questions. I'm glad he asked that. So, as always, tfradio.net/Amazon. You can do your holiday shopping, your, you know, daily essentials, your dog food.
Black Friday.
Even buy yourself a box of dog treats. People like to eat those for some reason.
If you need an Alexa, a good idea with the Black Friday. If you need an Alexa device or anything Amazon makes, it's going to be on sale on Black Friday.
Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be lightning deals all month long, especially, you know, if you've been on the fence about getting a Prime membership, tfradio.net/Prime, you may be able to get a free one-month trial. If not, Amazon now has a month-to-month option with Amazon Prime for, I think, $10.99 a month if you don't want to cough up the $100 all at once, if you're not sure you're going to use it enough. Amazon Prime's pretty cool, though. Oh, yeah. So you can sign up for that through our affiliate link. And yeah, so this is the time right now. Just, you know, be watching Amazon. You know, bookmark tfradio.net/Amazon. Use that when you go browsing around. You can find basically anything you need in life at Amazon, and even things that you don't. So many things that you don't. And in the process, you will help keep the show going. At least, you know, taking a little bit of the hurt off of Kilby's pocket, but not too much. He needs that.
And it's a whole lot. He needs his pain. It's a whole lot of hurting.
Rob, what is on T-Formers this week? As if I didn't know already.
Yeah, you definitely know. XV has done three really great galleries for some older figures in this case. R.A.D. Combiner Force Blur. And Legends Nightbird Shadow and Slipstream, and these all look fantastic.
Thank you. Blur's my favorite. Blur looks really good.
Yeah, I'm showing him right
now on the
screen.
The colors on that are just great. It's
good toy too.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I still need to get some R.A.D. stuff. I never did. So.
Well, hopefully that'll turn up at Ross and you can get some.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And also, I really like the effect you've got on the background for Nightbird Shadow, because that looks like a freaking 80s catalog picture right there. That is great.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, like, in the process of this, like, you know, a silver and black toy against a gray background, that's not really gonna, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
So pop a filter on a light and just, you know, flood the background.
It works. It works really well.
I'm pretty happy with how that one turned out.
I don't blame you.
And Slipstream also ran.
Yes.
Don, what's on the network this week? As if I didn't know already.
What's on the network this week? Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, In Theory. This week, we lead off with our spoiler conversation about the last episode of Discovery before its hiatus. It'll be back on January 7th. Right in time for the podcast to be over. Finished! Meanwhile, that one episode this week is In Theory from the end of TNG Season 4, all about terrifyingly inappropriate workplace relationships. There Goes My Money, Episode 32. I'd pay 20 for the right forearms. We're back and there are tons of new toys to talk about, including MP41 Dinobot, Power of the Prime Wave 1, and believe it or not, even more than that.
Who would talk about forearms?
Who would put a price on forearms?
I don't know anyone that ridiculous.
Gosh.
Goro from Mortal Kombat. Sorry. He said forearms. So. Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 126, Loudmouth and the Wheeled Warriors. This week in Awesome, Rob talks to robots in disguise. Still not that one.
finale briefly before intending to briefly talk about the new Titans Return series. Intending meaning he suddenly comes up with what he'd like to see in a Titans Return cartoon. He just does and doesn't know either why he's writing this in third person. Q&A wants to know what in articulation Rob would like to see next. Just thought I'd point out that not only is Rob writing in the third person again, but his favorite toy is Power Master Optimus Prime. So obviously he considers articulation regularly. All this, and be sure to visit Zone Base. RPG Lesson
Which I believe episode... is zonebase.org?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 28, our Mace 2017 thoughts. This week, Dusty, Brian, and Mike are finally joined by Chris. Short on sleep, but not on opinions, the gang share their thoughts on Mace 2017. Like any convention, some of it was great, and some of it could use a little work.
And if you don't listen to RPG Lessons, that's a good one to come in on, because they give like con thoughts and stuff. It gives you a good feel for what the show is, kind of.
So, Diecast, do you have any new reviews up this week?
I don't know. I'm thinking about doing another one, though, but I have, obviously, all four Power Primes figure deluxe figures. So if there's one you want to see, tweet at me at Diecast2, and the most votes I'll use to do the first Power
Primes. You know what you could do?
Tweet out a poll. Yeah, just do a poll.
Yeah, you could start a Twitter poll for it.
Yeah, if you go through the Twitter web interface, you can set up a poll. It has a maximum of four options. It'd be perfect.
Ah, awesome. I'll do that.
Okay, so
look for my poll.
Yeah, follow Diecast on Twitter. Watch for his poll and, you know, try not to make it too obscene, Diecast.
I just tweeted jazz, so do jazz.
That's the only one I didn't transform yet.
Well, now's your chance.
Okay, so as always, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/545. That will be where the show notes are, which is the documents we're reading off of right now. So it'll have all the links to the news articles we're talking about. And if Kilby's not careful, it'll have funny comments interspersed as we annotate live during recording. Don't forget our voicemail line. You can use it to send us text messages. It's 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. It will accept text messages. You can leave a voicemail. Nobody's going to answer the phone, but you can, you know, get in touch with us various ways through that. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Instagram at TF Podcast. I'm personally on Twitter at, gotcha, that you're going to. But you can follow my Flickr account. Yes, I don't do Instagram. It's too much of a pain to go through the phone. You can follow my Flickr account. That is flickr.com/chrisrtxv. And if you look on Twitter under that too, you'll probably also find me. I post a lot of toy photos, usually as I'm testing different things with my photo setup. So if you enjoy experimental toy photography or just seeing what random thing I grab as I'm walking over deciding, hey, how about I try this with a camera this week? Well, that's pretty much what you're going to find. Also me complaining about, old food. Diecast, you're on Twitter at Diecast2, as we mentioned, but where else can people find you?
You can find me on RFC Reviews, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. And I'll fill in for Kilby this week, and you can find Chris on Twitter at ChrisRTXV.
I mean, I kind of revealed that already, but,
Secret's out.
But while we're at it, you can find Matt on Twitter at Melvar.
I was going to do that.
Three L's and two R's. Because he's not here to protest. Don?
Yes.
Where can we
Social
find
media
you?
Plugs.
This week on that one episode of Star Trek. Oh, wait.
All right. Sorry, everything kind of froze up again. I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Like I said, it's close to Don's bedtime.
No, I right before I came online, my computer would not come out of sleep mode. So I had to unplug the power and plug it back in. And it's been acting a little sluggish ever since. So I'm not sure why.
A false positive one. Rob.
Okay, I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs. I'm also on YouTube at Flail Throughs, still going through Gundam Breaker 3. And, of course, the video work that XV and I do for T-Formers can be found on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
And be watching on there in the near future. I can't say exactly when because I don't have them yet, but I should, you know, in the next day or so. Be watching for Power of the Primes content to start popping up on there as I get that produced. John, are you listening or should I plug for you?
USPS, well, depending.
He's that John D. everywhere you want to be. And then our guest, Eric, what are you into these days?
You can find me at Eric Crowbar on Twitter, so you don't have to know my last name.
or how to spell it.
Yeah. Hopefully you can spell the word crowbar. I'd be concerned if you couldn't. And you can also find me on Instagram at Aramis Prime if that's your thing, because I post desk bots every day, and BISC is in most of them, as Jason alluded to.
Fully deserved. I mean,
yeah, he's a robotic lobster named BISC. Like, come on.
The recolor is Thermidor.
I can't wait to get Thermidor. They're going to be best friends. But you can also check out my YouTube channel, Nerdy Geek Talk, where I have a lot of podcasts because I've been doing one every single day for National Podcast Month. So there's a lot of different stuff up there. Make sure you check that out too.
Jason? Wonder Lobster Powers activate.
You can find me on Twitter at Jason S. Kirk. And I don't know why someone would do something as crazy as pointing out a podcast every day this week. Did I mention I'm pointing out a podcast every day this week? You can find them
on month.
This month. Well, this week too.
Yeah.
They're both right.
Yeah.
It might be
one past makes more sense than the other, kind of.
True. It might be past Jason's bedtime too. And also, since he's not here, you can follow William Shatner on Twitter at William Shatner.
Why?
I don't know. We're giving out people's Twitters. Why not?
Only people we hate.
You can follow Brian at B Kilby.
Yeah.
Or him. I'm done.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you wanted to, like, you know, plug your podcast more specifically than that or something, but
which one?
Sure, whatever.
I've done 15 of them this month.
My money, you can find him on.
Yes. I'm pretty much permanent there, so just come find me. Eventually.
Well, you are the executive producer, right?
True. True.
Why do you think I gave him that name?
So he'd have to do all the work.
Because I like it.
Yeah, because that's the only reason There Goes My Money is being made right now.
Hey, okay, I'm okay with that.
I guess that's going to do it for RFC this week. Almost 2 hours later. It's an XV week. Remember it.
Yep.
Eric, thanks for being here to talk about new toys. Jason, thanks for sitting in for Kilby.
For having me.
Absolutely.
And the rest of you, well, I mean, I see you all the time, so don't expect anything special. Okay. See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
See you, everyone. See ya. Go out and find some Power of the Primes.
If you can.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.